From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dark. For those of us of a certain age, the phrase timber wars harkens back to the 1980s and 90s when environmentalists and the timber industry engaged in a pitched battle over Oregon forests. Well, today, due to some actions by the White House and potential action in Congress, we may be entering a new phase of the timber wars. Today on the show, you'll hear from both sides in a debate on what to do with Oregon forests and BLM land. At issue is a plan to harvest more timber, but it's also an issue of forest sustainability. In short, it's a delicate balancing act. First, you'll hear from a conservation group that wants to continue to ban logging. Then you'll hear from an industry group that says we can both protect and harvest. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Oregon forests are green, and that green has two connotations. For environmentalists, that green means healthy wild places. For industry, that green means economic vibrancy. Today on the show, you'll hear from both sides of a debate about opening up more Oregon forests for commercial use. First up, we hear from a group that wants to keep chainsaws and trucks out. Steve Pettery, the Oregon Wilds Conservation Director. Steve, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I understand there's sort of several, there's legislation as well as what the White House is doing with regard to Oregon forests. I wanted to kind of hear, you know, from Oregon Wild's stance on what's happening. Perhaps both Oregon Representative Cliff Bentz has a bill, as well as the Trump action regarding old growth forests and BLM land. Give us kind of an overview of, as you see it, threats to Oregon forests.
Yes, I think it's an unfortunate time, I would say. Here in Oregon, we've really had, I think, a sea change in how we view forests and public lands in the state over the last 40 years, where we recognize that they have many values beyond timber, clean drinking water, habitat for fish and wildlife. They're really the engines that fuel a lot of Oregon's tourism and recreation economy. And I think what we've seen in the first year of this administration is really a focus exclusively on maximizing logging, and really going back to the kind of old school logging we saw in the 1980s, the clear cutting epidemic that led to the spotted owl crisis, led to the Northwest Forest Plan in the first place. These latest announcements deal with Western Oregon Bureau of Land Management lands. These are public lands that are owned by every American. They are found in Western Oregon, a larger concentration of them from Eugene south. But these are really lower elevation than most of the Forest Service lands that many of us are familiar with, and really critically important for fish and wildlife. And they have some of the last low elevation old growth stands found in Western Oregon. Okay. So really important from an environmental perspective, also really important from a recreation perspective. Some really treasured places, Valley of the Giants, Mary's Peak, down in Southern Oregon, part of the Wild Rogue area. You know, these are really beloved Oregon icons, and it's unfortunate that I think this administration really just sees them as a timber basket to be cracked open to reward the companies that supported him.
So if you kind of, from what I'm hearing, it's basically the federal government as well as some members of Congress saying strip away protections and go back to what it used to be. Is that kind of the crux of it?
Exactly. I think, you know, most of us in Oregon, the idea that we would log 200-year-old trees sounds ridiculous. It's a little bit like saying we're going to restart commercial whaling on the Oregon coast. Unfortunately, that is what this administration and what Congressman Cliff Bentz are sort of proposing. They really look at those clear-cutting days in the 1980s as something they want to go back to. And, you know, it certainly would make some nice profits or timber corporations that are capable of processing those logs. But once that forest is gone, it's gone forever. You know, there aren't a lot of places in America where we're managing forests on a 200-year rotation.
Okay. You brought up a point about how important to the Oregon economy tourism and recreation in our forests is. Has there been any talk about sort of balancing that with, again, from the federal perspective, this idea of, yes, it would be profitable to log major areas that maybe were off limits at one point, have they talked at all about the potential loss of revenue from tourism and other things that have become a major part of our economy?
You know, not really. I think that's the disheartening thing about this. To, you know, even if you're not an environmentalist, even if you don't care very much about endangered species or old growth, as you know, an American icon, you should care about the jobs that recreation, outdoor tourism bring to Oregon. You know, people come here to go rafting on the Rogue, to go hiking on Mount Hood. They inject money into those gateway communities. They travel through to get to those places. And when you take the view that the only value public lands or the only value forests have is, you know, what can be taken from them and sent to a sawmill, you're really ignoring the modern economy of not just Oregon, but I think of most of the Western states. You think about, say, like Colorado or Montana. You know, people aren't going there to go hiking at Clearcut.
Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking to Steve Pedere. He is Oregon Wilds Conservation Director. Steve, can you give us an idea of how much is proposed and if it passes, will happen, and how much is happening right now from the federal government? How much logging is already happening under the Trump administration? And then if Representative Bence's bill is passed, how much more would happen?
Yeah, so to just speak to the broader question, you know, logging has continued on public lands in Oregon and around the West since the Northwest Forest Plan was adopted back in 1994. It had shifted to a more sustainable model, particularly on Forest Service lands, where we were largely logging younger stands, trees under 80 years old, and managing forests to try and get them back to something more like natural conditions, what existed before clear cutting came along and converted a lot of it into tree farms, and before fire suppression came along and started leading to a lot of overstock stands. This latest announcement focusing on Bureau of Land Management lands, you know, these BLM lands in Western Oregon have been a political hot potato for a long time. The logging industry really looks at them and looks at the old growth on them and sees that as a piggy bank they would like to crack open. And they've been trying to crack that bank open since the 1990s. There's about 2.5 million acres of public land we're talking about here. About 1 million acres of that has some old growth on it. And, you know, that there has been logging of old growth stands happened under the Biden administration. It's accelerated under the Trump administration. I don't want to leave the audience with the idea that old growth was fully protected prior to this announcement. What's different about this announcement is it's really shifting. There's not even a pretext of a fig leaf that, you know, we're doing this for fire suppression or we're doing this for forest health. The frame that the agency staff with the Bureau of Land Management are being given that they will operate under in the future is timber dominance, logging as the dominant use of these lands. And, you know, to give you an example of why that's a bad idea, the Bureau of Land Management has something called areas of critical environmental concern. And these are places on public lands that have been identified as so special, you really don't want to develop them. You don't want to log them. You don't want to put roads through them. You don't want to open them up to development. And one of the things in this proposal is just eliminating that as a category of land and having all of these places put back into the timber base. And, you know, we've seen over the last 40 years, these ACECs established to try and protect some of the last best places we have on BLM lands. And just a blanket edict that we're not going to protect them anymore sort of speaks to, I think, the mindset behind this proposal, that it is not a balanced effort to boost timber production while protecting the environment. It's really about establishing logging as the dominant use of public lands.
Steve, my last question for you is this. I imagine most of my audience remembers, but for folks younger who may not, the timber wars of the 80s and early 90s, remind folks how the change came about to try and get rid of the worst offenses of clear cutting.
Yeah, you know, I liken it to commercial whaling, and that's not an understatement. You know, that we in the 80s were clear cutting thousands and thousands of acres of old growth forests every week across the Pacific Northwest, and we were rapidly running out of stands to log. And, you know, in the 80s, that really led to realization by first scientists who were tracking the health of salmon runs, who were tracking other wildlife, that populations were crashing as their habitat was being destroyed. And then there were social implications for that, too, the impacts that was having on fishing communities, the impacts that steep slope clear cutting was having on towns and homes downslope, mudslides and what that was doing to drinking water in communities around the Northwest. And that really led to a social backlash where a lot of Oregonians, a lot of people in Washington, Northern California as well, just didn't want to see this happen anymore. And that led to mass protests, you know, at a scale I don't think we've seen in the Pacific Northwest since. And in the early 90s, there was an effort to try and resolve those pressures. And the Northwest Forest Plan was part of that. And really trying to get these public lands, and I underscore that, these belong to everyone. These belong to you and me. These are not timber companies' lands. To get these public lands managed for the long-term best interests of the public, and elevating things like saving the old growth that was left, trying to recover salmon and steelhead runs, ending some of the worst clear-cutting practices. Those were put in place to address that public backlash. And I think one of the things that has struck me over the years is how much Oregonians just take for granted that no one logs old growth anymore. And, you know, when I talk to someone at a social event who doesn't know what I do for a living, and, you know, we just have a conversation about the environment in Oregon, the idea of logging a 200-year-old tree is like killing a gray whale. Who would do that? Unfortunately, I think one of the answers is, well, you know, there's some folks in the White House who have some thoughts on that.
He's Steve Padere, Oregon Wilds Conservation Director. Steve, really appreciate you coming on and talking with us. Now we hear from the other side in this debate about opening up Oregon forests for logging. Travis Joseph, the president and CEO of the American Forest Resource Council. Travis, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk about this important topic.
Yeah, why don't you tell folks what this bill that your organization is supporting, Representative Cliff Bence's bill, what would it do?
Congressman Bence's bill is really an affirmation of current law on the ONC Act. The ONC Act of 1937 directs the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, to manage about 2.5 million acres of federal forests on essentially a sustained yield basis, which means that, you know, the BLM would be managing these forests in perpetuity, forever, and keeping them as forests while producing volume, timber volume, to support local milling capacity infrastructure, while also generating revenue for local communities and counties to support essential county services. So the Congressman's bill affirms that meaning of the ONC Act, while also providing some technical corrections and clarifications to modernize the act. We think it makes a lot of sense. From our perspective, we don't really see any sort of partisan opposition to clarifying the law and clarifying outcomes that we think all Oregonians want: healthy forests, healthy communities.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that because I know some people might be concerned about the idea of, can you do both? Can you preserve forests but also have a robust, perhaps more robust, timber industry in Oregon that maybe we haven't seen in the past few decades?
I love that question, Michael. Thank you for asking it and prompting it. I think that's one of the biggest misunderstandings about, you know, forestry, silviculture, natural resources management, is that it's a zero-sum game. That somehow if you manage our federal forests and produce, you know, timber volume as one outcome, that you have to sacrifice your other outcomes. That's just not true. That, you know, that's, I recognize that might be good politics for some, but that's not, you know, how natural resource management, sustainable management under the strongest environmental laws on planet Earth works. And that's what we do in Oregon. You know, we have some of the strongest, you know, forestry laws and labor laws in the United States of America, in the world, here in the Pacific Northwest. So from our perspective, again, if you do good management of your forest, it's going to deliver all these other outcomes that we all support: clean air, clean water, you know, good paying jobs, recreational opportunities, public access. It's really frustrating, frankly, and disappointing to see a lot of narratives out there in the press right now about, you know, this idea that if you increase management and logging, that somehow you have to sacrifice all of the, you know, values that Oregonians hold dear about their public lands. That's just not true.
Okay. I know some people, perhaps the image of clear cutting and those sorts of things, and certainly people who've been around a long time might remember what I think were called the timber wars of the 80s.
Right,
you know,
right.
Talk about, you know, where you see and your organization sees, you know, kind of the way that management can go, forest management, I should say, so that perhaps, like you said, you know, both sides of whether it's the aisle, the political aisle, or both sides of the divide over forest management can see sort of agreement.
Right. I think that that's where we should start. We should start on what outcomes do we want? You know, what are we solving for on our federal lands, and specifically the ONC lands? And how do we measure that progress and making sure that we're moving forward on a sustainable management paradigm that works for our wildlife, our forests, and our communities? And so I think if you start there with Oregonians, that you'll find that there is commonality about what those objectives should be. One of them is additional timber supply to support Oregon's milling infrastructure and jobs and revenues. Yes, that's true. But it also can support, you know, wildfire mitigation. It can support community protection. You can use silviculture and modern management techniques to help accelerate wildlife habitat, protect water quality, and help reduce smoke in the air. So I think if we start with what are we trying to achieve, then we build a system and a paradigm that matches those outcomes that we collectively want. Look, I'm not naive. I know that this is an incredibly politically charged time. There's a lot of disagreement. I think our federal forests are one thing that can bring us together. I really do. Oregonians love their forests. They should. We do. My members do. So how do we think about and change the current trajectory that we're on? We don't want to go back to the 90s. You know, that we have no interest in fighting some sort of new war. Let's work together to figure out how do we achieve better forest resiliency, forest health, and community health. Those aren't just, you know, big, you know, picture ideas that I think are, you know, pie in the sky. Those are real. We can accomplish that.
Let me reintroduce you to the audience, talking to Travis Joseph. He's the president and CEO of the American Forest Resource Council. Travis, one of the things you just mentioned was about wildfires and resiliency. And obviously, Oregonians care very much about their forests and are very concerned about wildfires. Talk about, because I know in sort of researching this topic, one of the points that your organization brings up a lot is this idea of managing forests for better wildfire resiliency. Talk about that.
Yeah, because our forests are overstocked. They're unhealthy. You know, they're beyond carrying capacity. That's sort of a forestry term. But, you know, in some ways, and it's hard to wrap your mind around sometimes if you're not engaged in these on kind of a regular basis, that we actually have more trees on our federal lands than really what the land can support. And combined with climatic conditions and lots of different stressors on public lands, you can create these really dangerous conditions. And so we can manage our forests by reducing densities and competition, vegetation competition. We can help protect, you know, our older forests. We can create mosaics of healthy, dynamic ecosystems. But that takes intention, takes science-based active forest management. And that's really what's going on here, is that since the 90s, since the Northwest Forest Plan, we've really moved away from active forest management to passive management. We have large blocks of our federal forests, and this applies to the ONC lands and our federal forests managed by Forest Service. About 80% of our lands are set aside that do not allow for continued, sustainable, active management. They're in reserves. And, you know, our idea, based on science and based on, you know, what the data tells us, is that we need to take a more proactive approach across the landscape. People confuse that to think that we're talking about clear-cut logging on federal lands. We're not. We just need to have all the tools in our toolbox to be able to achieve those environmental, economic, social, cultural outcomes that we all agree on.
Representative Bence's bill, does it fit in with other actions that the White House has taken with regard to opening up federal lands for logging?
Yep, no, it's a good question. I mean, some of the stuff is complicated about how it works together, but essentially, Congressman Bence's bill is consistent with the ongoing current administrative process that was recently announced by the Trump administration about revising the resource management plans for the ONC land. So Congressman Bence's bill clarifies the intent of the ONC Act. And as I mentioned, it has these technical components. It clarifies that the state of Oregon and BLM should be working together on fire suppression. It ensures that the 18 ONC counties in Western Oregon are considered cooperating agencies and working with the administration on that resource management plan revision. But it doesn't, the bill, the legislation, it doesn't prescribe an outcome. It doesn't prescribe a timber outcome. And neither does the announcement recently by the Trump administration. Just to be clear with your listeners, what was announced is a plan to have a plan. Essentially, they came out and said, we're going to revise the existing resource management plans for the ONC lands. We want public feedback. That's due by March 23rd as they work on the specifics of what that plan might look like. But right now, we don't have any specifics about what changes or outcomes that would lead to.
Travis, my last question for you is this sort of, where is Representative Bence's bill? Kind of, do you know what the next steps are with regard to the bill?
Yeah. So first step is introduction, which he's done. It's been referred to the House Natural Resources Committee, of which he's a member. I would expect that he'll probably request a legislative hearing on the bill, which is part of the process, is going through, you know, a congressional review and public review. That could happen as early as maybe this summer. And then I would imagine that the Oregon congressional delegation will also be thinking about other ideas or concepts for the ONC lands. I think it's really important to remember that former Congressman Peter DeFazio also introduced legislation, bipartisan legislation, on these ONC lands about a decade ago, and he was able to get that through the House of Representatives. Our senators, Senator Wyden and Merkley, also introduced legislation on the ONC lands around the same time. That didn't quite get enough traction and move through the Senate. But the Oregon delegation has a history of trying to find a legislative solution to the ONC lands, a bipartisan legislative solution. And we're eager to work with them to find opportunities to move those concepts forward.
He's Travis Joseph, the president and CEO of the American Forest Resource Council. Travis, really appreciate you taking some time to talk with the audience.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk to your listeners. Really appreciate it.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Monday on the show, you'll hear about a proposal to build a new mountain bike park in Eugene. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.